Reckon you'd be down here. How's your aim? He said. Bloody awful. She closed the double doors and locked them. He leaned against a glass-topped storage cabinet that had once been used to hold seedlings. In the deepening chill, his breath came out as small vapor. Well, don't get your knickers in a knot. Your choice of weapon isn't often a gun. You're more the knife and pillow gal. I'm the 9mm man. She frowned at his bluntness. You really can be an idiot sometimes, Whit. I'm not making light of it. But you're wound tighter than anyone I've ever met. Then you need to get out more. I'm actually pretty laid back. So what do you think about this Fedor Kuchin bloke?
I think we'll be seeing him in Provence soon enough.
Little close on the planning end. I'd prefer some more time. She shrugged.
The way the professor tells it, the Viper doesn't come out in the open very often. This may be our only chance.
Your cover has to be top-notch. This guy has the resources to check deep.
Our people have always come through before.
She waited, sensing that he had more to say. I want in on this on the ground, he said suddenly, then paused, probably to study her reaction to these words. Maybe you can nip over to the prof and talk to him.
Reggie slipped her pistol into its belt holster and wiped her hands off on a rag she drew from a workbench.
The plan's still preliminary. There's time for that.
You know how Mallory thinks. He fancies you as always the first choice for the tip of the spear.
You've had your share of mission leads, Whit, she said firmly.
I did, before you came along. Don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming you. You're excellent, really brilliant at this stuff. And since it's mostly old blokes we go after, having a lady in the lead makes sense for getting their guards down. But I'm not bad either. And the thing is, I didn't sign on for this job to carry the bags all the time. I'd like to get me wax in too.
She considered this for a few moments.
I'll talk to the professor.
Kuchin isn't a nonagenarian Nazi who'll get duped by a pretty face and a glimpse of thigh, now is he?
Whit grinned and moved closer, running his gaze over her.
Don't sell yourself short, Reg. That stuff works for most men, young and old.
She smiled and lightly smacked him on the cheek.
Thanks for the offer, but shove off.
Before he could take another step toward her, Reggie passed by him and set off back toward the mansion. She made only one other stop, the estate's graveyard. It was situated a respectful distance from the main house, past a stand of birch and nearly surrounded by a hedge of stout English yew. The headstones were darkened by the passage of time, and it seemed even colder here, as though the corpses below could somehow extend their chilly influence to the surface. She stood in front of one grave and, as she usually did, read off the ancient marker. Laura R. Campion, born 1779, died 1804. An angel sent on to heaven. She had no idea if she was related to Laura R. Campion or whether the woman's middle name was Regina. She'd only been 25 when she'd passed. Not so unusual back then. Perhaps she'd perished in childbirth, as so many women from those times did. On discovering this grave marker one morning while walking around the estate, she'd eagerly set out to find other Campions buried here. There were none, though other family names were repeated across the burial plots. She'd researched Laura R. Campion on the internet and at the library, but found nothing. Thomas Campion had been a poet born in the 1500s, and one of his best-known works had referred to a woman named Laura, but there was no connection that Reggie could see. Walking back to the house, she thought of her family, at least the one she used to have. She was the only one left, at least that she knew. Her family tree was a bit complicated. Because of that, there was a hole in her chest through which nothing could pass. It was a total dead zone. Each time she tried to come to grips with what was motivating her to travel the world in pursuit of evil, the zone repelled her,
never allowing her closure, never allowing her a free breath. After fetching her things from the house, she began the drive back to London. More meetings at Harrowsfield would come. Intelligence and background briefs digested down to the smallest detail. A plan would finally evolve, and they would refine it, attempting to massage out all possible errors. Then, when preparations were complete, she would travel to Provence and attempt to kill another monster. In that simple equation, Regina Campion would have to find all the solace she was ever likely to possess.